Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, and let's get to it, to the science today. We're not going to get philosophical, we're not going to get theological, we're not going to get psychological, we're going to get scientific. A deeper, broader version of what you're doing. Your time, your money, your energy, your perception of health versus reality. Ooh. Your perception of health versus the inside track. That's the purpose of this show, to get you to a deeper understanding. It's all about education, and I think you'll agree, if you've listened to this show, that it's a whole other world if you can really dig into the concepts. So I want you to take your symptom, take your concern, take your goal for radiant health, take your radiant health and sustain it, or take your disease and get rid of it. No matter what you're up to, I want to create a vision for you. And if you're on the computer, and I hope you are, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, go to the radio literature section, and look at the pictures. Because I've got pictures of the cell. Yes, the cell. Seventh grade biology, the cell. We all learn it, so it's not too technical, not if it's taught correctly. Nothing in science is difficult for you if it's taught correctly. Too often it's not. That's why America doesn't put out enough scientists anymore. Science has become something we reserve only for people that want to spend countless numbers of hours trying to decipher hieroglyphics in textbooks. That's not what this show is about. My basic contention is no matter what you do for a living, you have enough brains and enough interest to understand science. So look at that picture of the cell if you can get to the computer. And then I have another picture. And boy, how does this make sense? The other pictures on the website are the canals of Venice. Yes, Venice, Italy. Venice, Italy. The canals, the water that soaks up. You've all seen those pictures, that soaks up against the walls of those beautiful buildings. Those canals are polluted. They're filthy. You don't swim in that water. Just like the Nile River. Just like the Mississippi River. Just like the Hudson River of New York, just like the East River of New York. Boy, growing up in New York, could I tell you stories about the East River, about what happens to you when you fall into the East River. I'll just tell you a little story. If you fall into the East River, honestly, up till maybe a few years ago, but still today, it's like falling into a vat of acid. And you come out as deranged as you would if you fell into a vat of acid. Canals, water systems that are polluted, acidic, that will not allow life to thrive. What's the point? In between your cells are the canals of Venice. There's the easy-to-understand analogy. In between your cells is a water system. It's called, very logically, the intercellular space. So we're going to talk about a space today. We're going to explore a space. If you've got a three-dimensional understanding of the body, you can do this. So I want you to think of your organ, the organ you're most concerned about, your eye, your liver, your kidney, your heart, your brain, your pancreas, your stomach, your small intestine, your large intestine, your spleen, your skin. The body's made of cells. I just want you to think of a bunch of grapes on the vine. You know, those green grapes, you go to pick them, you pull out a clump. Each grape is a cell. Each grape has a membrane, which is the skin of the grape. But in between each grape is a space. That space in the body is called the intercellular space. In the body, that space is filled with water. Now I'm going to take it a step further. This is great. You're going to go to the stores and you're going to take this big clump of grapes. That's your organ. You're going to put those grapes in a big plastic bag and you're going to fill the plastic bag with water. There is no better example of an organ. Every time you shop at Mother's, at Sprouts, at Whole Foods, at farmers markets, and you pick up a bag of grapes forever and ever on your healthy day, I want you to take that bag of grapes, that clump of grapes, put it in a plastic bag, and then imagine that bag filled with water. Now close the bag. What you're carrying, the water in the grapes in the water, in the bag, with the bag closed, that's an organ. That is an organ. That is the perfect analogy for the organ. That organ has a cellophane skin on it. That's called the capsule of the organ. All your organs are in a plastic bag of fascia, so to speak. It's called the capsule. The liver, the lung. The pleura of the lung is its capsule. The pleura of the lung, pleuritis, pleurisy, is the plastic bag around the lung. The pericardium of the heart is the plastic bag around the heart. The prostatic capsule, the capsule around the prostate, is the prostatic capsule. That's the plastic bag around the prostate. Every organ has a plastic bag around it called a capsule. So you're walking out with that plastic bag of grapes, and the water in between the grapes, those are the canals of Venice. That's the intercellular space. You got it. Perfect. That intercellular space is filled with water. Now, where are we going with this? Well, we're going to the following. If, in fact, that water begins to get, like the canals of Venice, dirty, it soaks those cells in filth. And the cell doesn't like that. Remember, the cell is a living, dynamic organism. It's not like the brick on the side of a building. It's an inorganic, non-living structure. It's dense. It's dumb. It doesn't respond. But a cell? The cell is a living, vibrant, thinking organism. And if you pollute the water in between the cells begin to get angry. Now, what that means chemically is they inflame. The membranes inflame. When the intercellular space, when the canals are dirty, when the water in the plastic bag around the grape starts to get filthy. And why does it get filthy? It doesn't drain. Why does it get filthy? The cell excretes. Why does it get filthy? Because the air and the water is filthy when it comes into you. There's loads of reasons that the intercellular water gets filthy. We're going to get into those because you know where I'm going with this. Health is clean intercellular space. Health is the space between the cells. When you get to the archives and you listen to this show again, today's show is Health is the Space Between the Cells, the Intercellular Space Explored. That's where the action is. If you were like the tiny bowl man, the little man, shrunk down to microscopic size, sitting in a boat, hanging out in the boat, you'd be trying to supervise the cleanliness and flow of the water system in between the cells. And where you fail is where that dynamic living organism, the cell, starts to get annoyed. And little bits of the membrane of the cell, the skin of the grape, begin to chip off, fall off, inflame off, decay off. And little bits of the guts of the grape, the guts of your cell, the protoplasm, the cytoplasm of the cell, all those seventh grade words coming into your mind again. That gut of the cell begins to squirt into the canal. Now, we have a patrol system in the canal. It's called the immune system. And we have little animals that float around in the immune system, specialized cells that have a different job than the liver cell. They have a job of patrolling those waters. And when they see something that shouldn't be there, our bodies are biochemically designed, equipped with a biochemical intelligence to begin to signal and set off an alarm. That alarm sends a signal to the entire immune system. Dozens of different types of immune system cells that patrol the canals, the intercellular space, the waters between your cells are patrolled, the Coast Guard. And that intercellular Coast Guard, the immune system, seeing the guts of this squirted cell out because the membrane's been deranged, because it's been inflamed with all the filth in that water, it starts to signal the production of chemicals, histamines, which dilate the space, force more blood into the space. Histamines come with prostaglandins, bradykinins, chemicals which irritate the nerve sensors that are hanging out in that space. That space, that intercellular space, is an intersection of many systems in the body. But that space is supposed to be clean. Its pH, the pH of those waters, is supposed to be in that 6.2, 6.4, 6.8, 7.0 range. When you measure the pH in your urine, you're measuring the pH of that water, theoretically. I hope that's true. I'd love to see a lot more science to prove that that's true. But from the standpoint of clinical observation, we'll go with the notion that your midstream morning urine pH reflects the pH of that space between your cells. So that space is under strict control. When it's not under control, an alarm system goes off. That's the inflammatory response. Now, something comes with the inflammatory response. The deposition of fibrin. Fibrin. F-I-B-R-I-N. Fibrin is what you use to make a blood clot. Fibrin slows down the flow of blood. Fibrin is what we call the material through which we develop intercellular scarring. Scarring. So understand this, like the stress response, the fibrin response, really get this. This is so big if you can get this. The deposition of fibrin into that space, that inflamed space, is critical when it's appropriate. It's critical when it's appropriate. You get bit by a bug. Your arm inflames. You want to sequester or localize the inflammatory response. So the body comes in, it sends blood into the space, and the body deposes, it deposits fibrin to create sludge, to sequester or localize the inflammatory area. Now that works in the interest of the body when you get bit by a rattlesnake. That works in the interest of the body when in fact you've got some sort of true alarm state. But if you're chronically inflaming yourself in ways that you shouldn't, in ways that we haven't evolved to adapt to, well, then this chronic inflammatory state where fibrin is constantly deposited all over the body systemically is the groundwork to disaster. Because once the fibrin's laid down, the water doesn't flow. Blood and blood components can leak out of the capillaries into that space. You have an intersection, a traffic jam in the canals. So think of living on a canal, and think of that canal and the water in it 1,000 years ago, where that river or that canal was pristine. But if you start to clog up the canal gets thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. And finally, that canal turns to sludge. Fibrin. The inappropriate deposition of fibrin. Scar tissue is fibrin. In the intercellular space is the groundwork. It's the prerequisite. It's what initiates a response from the cell, from the grape, the living dynamic cell. It's looking at the filth around it and your body's inability to remove that filth. And the cell is saying, what am I going to do? Just what am I going to do? How am I going to function? How am I going to do my job? How am I going to excrete my poisons? How am I going to handle all the poisons that are coming into my house that shouldn't be? That cell starts to get annoyed, and it's when it goes dysplastic. It begins to change shape. The chemical stress changes the morphology of the cell. The cell adapts. Great example of it. I've mentioned it before. Great example. Cigarette smokers or people that live in polluted areas, like all of us. We have on the lining of the bronchioles a certain cell. It's called a respiratory columnar cell. Columnar. That cell has cilia, little hairs. Those little hairs, when you ingest particulates off the freeway, wherever, on the job, in the hair salon, these little particulates that would kill the lung, these little cilia catch them, and they push them upwards. So the lungs, the alveolus, the deep lung, has a protective passage called the bronchioles, which use cilia to sweep all this dust up and back into your throat so it can't get down there. But if you annoy it too many times, if you insult it too many times, those respiratory columnar cells with their ever-important cilia begin to inflame. When they inflame, they adapt. You know what their adaptation is? To drop off the cilia and morph. They morph. They transform themselves into squamous cells. A respiratory columnar cell becomes a squamous cell. The inner walls of a woman's vagina are squamous cells. Those squamous cells on the inner wall of a female vagina are put there purposely by nature to ensure her that she will not irritate, tear, allow chemicals into her body through the vaginal wall. They serve a function. But that squamous cell is not a cell that does well on the inner lining of the bronchioles. On the inner lining of the bronchioles, you will develop secondary diseases if that cell becomes a squamous cell. And this is what we see with smokers or people exposed to high concentrations of pollution. They develop all sorts of lung issues, emphysemas, bronchiectasis, asthmas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And those put stresses on the heart. Then we develop our COPDs or our problems with the heart secondary to problems in the lung, second and tertiary to inflammation down the bronchioles. Point is, a cell, as in the case of the lung, will morph. It will change shape. So that symptom, that disease, that diagnosis you got was once just an inflamed cell with a filthy intercellular water. It's like saying the water you put in the plastic bag around the grapes, if you keep that water filthier and filthier and filthier, if you don't drain it out of the bag and put fresh, clean spring water in it, eventually the grapes will change their shape. That's beautiful. That analogy should do it for you. If you take that in, you understand part A. Now, part B is to understand or the second step, I should say, or the next step, is to understand that that's part of the reason you cleanse. So, yes, you clean the colon. You clean the liver. You clean the biliary system. You open your skin. You try to sweat. You clean your kidneys. You do all these things that, well, I've done shows on. Not my shows necessarily, but all shows, all cleanses, all these things you hear about. What I want you to understand, what perhaps you're not being told, what perhaps is underemphasized, is that these are grade A cleanses. Kidney cleanses, liver cleanses, sweating, all this kind of stuff. That's like cleaning dirt off a rug. And it accomplishes about as much. But kind of the public, America, I don't know what you want to call it, common mentality today is really behind the curve. Not you. If you listen to this show, you're 50 years ahead of the curve. But your average Joe thinks a liver cleanse, a colon cleanse, is something from outer space that you got to be a little wacky to do. That certainly their medical doctor won't agree with, but you do it anyway. And if you feel better, then you feel like you got the inside track. The inside track is not that. That was the inside track 50 years ago. That's what I'm here to tell you today. Liver cleanses, gallbladder cleanses. This is not the inside track. The inside track is to understand that all you're trying to do when you do these things is clear the intercellular water. But you see, something's happened to that water. By the time you're 50, 60, 70 years old, those spaces have grown weird things. Now you're talking about the Marianas Trench. Now you're talking about all that weird stuff down there with the Loch Ness Monster in Scotland. Now you're talking about whatever goes on 6 miles below the surface of the ocean. Deep pockets of weird stuff. Goop. Granulation. So now I'm going to get technical, introduce some words. Those spaces, the canals of Venice, have granulated, precipitated, crystallized, morphed, created new bugs, different weird types of infections, encased in biofilms, cocoons of snot, in the intercellular space. Chemicals, acids, that have sat there for many years, uncirculated. The concentration of those fluids begins to granulate or crystallize, or precipitate solid chunks. It's simple. If you keep dumping garbage into the water, eventually the water will have like a goo in it. It'll have like a solid sort of powder, sort of a granularity, a precipitation, a crystallization. It's common sense. Take a glass of water and keep pouring salt in. Take a glass of water and keep pouring sugar in. Take a glass of water, pour any type of liquid garbage you want, and eventually, go out of the water, the liquid will precipitate solid. 10, 20, 30 years of that, and those solids begin to granulate. Now, that's a tough stain on the rug. That's not cleaning off the dirt on a rug. You have a granulated situation now. The inside track is to understand what granulation is, crystallization, precipitation. The inside track is to understand that just because your bowels flow, just because your bile flows, just because you sweat, just because you've done some kidney cleanses, the inside track is to understand that they just lay the conditions for you to degranulate, to get rid of your biofilms, your granulated poisons, your chemicals in the intercellular space. See, that's another level. And you have to understand that. Because you've only got so much time, and you've only got so much money, and you've got only so much energy. I mean, how much time do you have to cleanse? How much money do you have to spend? How much energy? Everybody says that. It takes so much time, money, and energy just to stay healthy. You can't stay healthy, not because you don't want to, but where's the time or the energy? So you have to understand that these cleanses are just designed to give you a chance to get to the real part of you. And if you don't get returns, if you don't understand this and you don't get returns, somebody sells you the Kool-Aid and says, do these cleanses because it'll all happen for you, and it doesn't happen, you give up. And that's really why I'm trying to impress this point upon you. You can't expect to cure yourself of illness simply because you've done liver cleanses and colon cleanses. You can't throw up your arms and simply say, I've done everything there is to do. You can't believe that. You can't believe it just because you don't hear enough of what you're hearing right now. So take that into yourself. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. I'll take a moment here to tell you I'm starting my third class tomorrow. This will be down at my beautiful office in Costa Mesa. I've got about 25 people coming. I'm sorry, the class is closed out. I think maybe I'll start a fourth class, and then that's it. I can't do any more. Get to the website, read the introduction about the class. I think I've proven, at least to myself, many of my students, that if you come every 6 weeks, very cheap investment, lots of return. Every 6 weeks, you spend 6 months or a year, there's no end to what you can learn then. Really to get you to put together the concepts. And as I've said, I never truly felt comfortable until I could offer some form of a school. Because there's only so much you can do in an hour or two. There's only so much you can learn. And then you're back 6-8 weeks later. You may be trusting your doctor. You may be trusting your counselor to guide the way, to provide the torch. And yet you may only see that person in a year for 8 hours. I'm not comfortable that way. The answer is education. And here today is a classic example. So, you've got the school. You've got the website. We're at 101 hours now. We hit show 100 last Sunday. The show is in its third year. It's doing wonderfully, which tells me what I thought. What I thought is a lot of people walk out of health food stores, doctor's offices, all looking at each other going, what did he say? I don't understand what I'm doing. And my analysis of it, I think, is bearing true. You were hungry for education. Bring it on, because we have lots. And today's a classic example. If you've spent time and money and energy with liver flushes, gallbladder flushes, colon cleanses, kidney cleanses, learning to sweat in different varieties of processes. Wonderful. But what's the purpose? When you bring all of that to the crystallized, granulated, precipitated canals, the spaces between your cells, now you're actually, in a sense, beginning. And that's important. Otherwise, you're going to lose faith because you don't have knowledge. Not because you don't have faith, but because you don't have the knowledge. So, big point one, big concept one. Those cleanses are cleaning the dirt off the rug. Now we're getting to the tougher stains. Understand this. Once you get there, it is time dependent. Time. This is where things slow down. Your body is not going to release these things in a month unless you've mastered your nervous system. Wow, there's another big one. Unless you truly understand how to manipulate your neurological system through the autonomic nerves, through the parasympathetic nerves, unless you really have versatility in that respect, this is where your body stalls. This is the second base point. This is where you feel a bit better. You've got more faith in the process. You feel like you've gotten some reasonable return on your investment. But you are by no means there. You're not feeling radiant. You're not vibrant yet. You're 60 or 70 years old. You're looking for another 20 years of health. All those things that you can do now that you couldn't do or didn't have the wisdom to do then, now you have an opportunity to do. But you don't feel 100%. You're at second base. You got to understand that. And after second base, from second to third base is slow. It's slow because your body selectively will depose, dissolve, degranulate, ungranulate, decrystallize. Those granules that were precipitated out have to dissolve back in to the liquid between the cells. That's time dependent. This is where you got to kick back and search your soul. This is where your emotions come up, your emotions. This is really where you start asking yourself if it's all worth it. So when you get to midstream, it's a critical place. It's an important place in the juncture. If you get on the other side of that part, I never see people fail. I see a lot of people get to second base and drown. They drown in their granules. They drown in their crystallizations. Now I'll tell you something wacky. This is wacky. As you degranulate, as you decrystallize, your emotions come up. The deeper emotions come up. The stuff from childhood comes up. It starts circulating in your head. You start having memories. Second base is a challenge. And less of a challenge if you understand the space. Thus the show. In essence, that goo becomes solid waste. So once we create intercellular sludge, here's the issue. We can't send blood in. We can't drain the blood out. We can't send nerve flow in. And we can't move the lymph. We can't move this water into the lymphatic system. That's big. We just self-imposed the harshest embargo. We just embargoed our cell. We just created a state where we're going to starve the cell. We can't get stuff to it, and we can't get stuff out of it. And for those of you who really listen to the show, here's a little tidbit. Arterial perfusion, the flow of stuff to the cell is under high pressure. So you can still get the poison in, but you're never going to get the poison out at that place. So in the balance of trade, once you start to granulate in that water between the cell, you're on a slippery slope. You're going to grossly accelerate the rate at which you build poison because the artery stays strong. It still pumps it in, but it's very easy for the low pressure systems of the vein and the lymph to fail. So you hit another level of buildup and disaster. That's what you're faced with. No nerve flow in, no venous flow out. Limited perfusion or arterial capillary transfer in. Very limited lymph drainage. The water in between the cell gets dished off through the lymphatic channels, and that slows down when the intercellular space is sludge. And the nerve is just living in there microscopically, wrapped around all sorts of things, oozing its tentacles microscopically into that intercellular space. And the nerve is inflamed. The nerve is decayed. The nerve isn't the nerve anymore. The conduits of life, nerve, vein, artery, capillary, lymph, are dying. And your cell is sitting there going, I'm not liking this. I'm about to morph because the last thing that's going to happen to me, the cell, is I'm not going down. That's called dysplasia. Once you impose an embargo, a self-proclaimed embargo on the life conduits of the cell because the intercellular space is filthy for all the reasons stated, and you turn your intercellular water to sludge, You've imposed an embargo. You're forcing dysplasia. Dysplasia can get all the way to the DNA. So, ladies, I'll give you a classic example. Grade 1 cervical dysplasia. Cervical dysplasia. That means the cells of the cervix are mildly changed. Grade 3 cervical dysplasia. Grade 3. The cells are more. Cervical cancer. Now the cells are not called dysplastic. They're called anaplasia. A-N-A-P-L-A-S-I-A. Anaplasia. The minute an organ becomes anaplastic, it means the changes have deranged the DNA. They've gone from the membrane to the cytoplasm to the seeds of the grape, or the DNA of the cell. And when the DNA displaces, we are looking at a bad situation. If you leave a cell long enough in bad water, it's going to go dysplastic, potentially all the way to the DNA. This is what you're looking at when you're trying to pick yourself up and come out of disease or chronic illness. If you're not making it to work, unless you really push it, if you're rolling out of bed, rolling into the car, rolling to work, rolling out of work, back into the car, rolling out of your car, into your living room, rolling to a dinner table, and then rolling to the TV set, and then rolling to bed. And that's about it. This is what's going on. If you've been diagnosed with some disease, if you've been given a chronic symptom that nobody can decide, nobody can define, but you know something's wrong, this is what you're looking at in the intercellular space. Isn't that fascinating? So in that space, you're hoping to start to break down the biofilms. Those bugs will create cocoons. The cocoons thrive in filthy water. It's called the greasy, slimy biofilm. Your immune system cells, remember the immune system cell at the beginning of the inflammatory process. Those immune system cells that began this inflammatory response, those immune system cells can't do anything about the biofilm. They'd like to eat the biofilm, but they can't. Then we've got to repair the DNA. DNA doesn't repair so fast. Then there's the cell energy. The energy of the cell, the overall ability of the cell to function and do all the things the cell needs to do. So again, if we're in the intercellular space, now let's go inside the cell. Let's go inside the cell and take a look at it. By the time you've got nothing but goo and slime in the waters around the cell, if you go in the cell, that factory's not putting it out anymore. Those workers inside the factory are lethargic. That factory is not up to optimal production. By no means are we producing at that point. And you feel the effect. So the cell energy's gone. The DNA is repairing slowly and it's deranged. There's biofilms spewing poisons, perpetuating this swamp of garbage in between the cells, and your immune systems can't get to these biofilms because they're way too big. And chemically speaking, you're producing the infamous free radical. So let's take a moment here. Once you start deranging the chemistry of the cell, once the cell is drowning in poison, the chemical reactions produce a lot of these electron hungry, so pardon the chemistry here, electron hungry scavengers. These angry molecules are spun off in the intercellular insanity. They're like, we produce our own shark. You know, Jaws, beware. It's hungry. It's going to bite. We produce our own system or colony of sharks, barracudas, scavengers. We call them free radicals. We produce them in these states at unprecedented levels, and they start eating themselves. They eat each other. We produce these monsters, not just infectiously, but chemically damaging as electron-hungry species called free radicals. And we depend upon glutathione, intracellular glutathione, lipoic acid, CoQ10, all the derivatives of vitamin C, vitamin E, the antioxidants. Oh, yeah, take a lot of those antioxidants. Take those antioxidants, the ones that are real high on the ORAC score. Get them in there. Yes, get them in there. But to what terrain? Your solution, when I say we're producing a lot of free radicals, your solution is not to go out and spend thousands of dollars on antioxidant powders. Your solution is to change the terrain so you get your money's worth out of the antioxidant. And this is why I lay it out like this for you. That way you can understand, yes, it's important to get good supplement. Thanks to Dr. Marshall. Thanks to people that really, really devote themselves, all right, to putting out clean, good product. We have that available. But the concept here is to understand really how to apply this and apply it correctly to the terrain. So all these free radicals, we have chemicals in the cell, glutathione particularly, that the cell produces to neutralize these. In the absence of the cell's ability to produce enough lipoic acid, enough CoQ10, enough glutathione. See, when chemists, conservative chemists come in, and they look at us taking antioxidants, like CoQ10, like lipoic acid, dihydrolipoic acid, vitamin C, vitamin E, they look at us and they say, well, with the exception, of course, you know, vitamin C and vitamin E, they say, you produce your own. You produce your own lipoic acid. You produce your own CoQ10. Why are you wasting your money taking it from an exogenous source? Now, that's not really, as far as I'm concerned, great advice. It's important to bring in foods or supplements that are rich in antioxidant. But here's the point. You're not going to cure yourself that way. You're going to cure yourself by the overall, the net advancement of cell energy. As you make the cell, for all these reasons, more efficient, the cell will produce enough of its own antioxidant to neutralize those free radicals. The glutathione that the cell produces, the lipoic acid that the cell produces, those numbers can increase. And as you cleanse and you clean and you neutralize, you produce less free radicals. So you have to buffer systems originally. In the beginning, you've got to bring in antioxidant. But beneath that, more fundamental to it, you have to lift up the health of the cell. So even if you didn't get the specifics of that, the concept is rebuild the health of the terrain and let the cell begin to generate what it naturally produces, and it'll bring that against the infection. So you can understand amidst all of this why it might be 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years. Yeah, you might spend half a decade getting out of that hole. And you know what? Hang in there. Because you will not be disappointed, my friend. But you have to understand that it takes time. Now, some of you can get to second base early on. But when you're dealing with autoimmune disease, when you're dealing with Lyme, when you're dealing with advanced parasitic infections, when you're dealing with a whole slew of things that we can diagnose and that we can't diagnose, don't expect to get to second base too fast. And if after a year you're finally there, don't expect to get beyond it maybe for another year or two. And you know what? I think it's exciting news, but you got to wrap yourself around something. Even after you get to that second plateau. Even when you go around second base to third base, there's one other step. And this can bring you into your fourth and fifth year. And again, you've got to understand, after you clean, after you successfully manipulate the canals of Venice, after you can swim in those waters again, there's one more step. And it's the most important step. It's the place, really, where you get your life back. It's the place, really, where you feel like going and running a couple of miles or hiking for 3 or 4 hours. It's the place where you just feel good in the morning again. It's the place where you just spring out of bed and praise God. That place is after you can drink those waters in the canal. Because that's the point at which the inside of the cell, that's the place at which the inside of the cell will begin to repair. That's big. That is really big. So let's now go from the intercellular space into the intracellular space. Now we're inside the cell. Now the little man in the boat has gone through the membrane of the cell into the cytoplasm of the cell. And it's looking around. And it's going, oh my God, what a mess in there. Why? Why, if the canals are filthy, would the inside of the cell look filthy? Because the cell shuts down its factory when it can't drain its poisons. The cell shuts down. It depresses function. It depresses repair. Here's another great analogy. Your cell, your liver, your kidney, your brain, your heart, under pressure, under chemical stress, when those areas get filthy, if the cell has to make a choice between repairing itself and pumping out its function. In other words, if it has to make a choice between repairing the machinery or just pumping out product because it's under demand, it will sacrifice repair to get the job done. I want you to wrap yourself around that. That's a big one. It's really important. When you begin to stress a cell to the point where the cell cannot function anymore because it's so filthy, it'll find a way to function. But what it does is it expends its capital, its reserve energy, its ATP. It spends the currency of itself, what it uses to make it happen. It spends it on reserve amounts of what it takes to get the job done. And it doesn't repair at all. It lets itself break down more. This is an emergency reserve mechanism. It's like when all breaks loose, when it all hits the fan, that person's going to survive. That cell's going to do its job. But its breakdown rate increases tremendously. So when you have a cell where the intercellular fluid is still filthy in the ways I've spent 40 minutes describing, the last thing that cell's going to do is repair itself. You can pump in all you want. You can spend all your time, money, and energy fertilizing that cell. And you should fertilize that cell. You should rest and repair. You should eat. You should receive nutrients while you're cleaning and while you're getting out of a disease. But here's the bottom line, and this is what you got to understand. When we talk about the fertility of an herb, this herb will do this, and this herb will do that, and that herb will do this, and this food is fantastic. Your cells, when they're in that state of disarray in the intercellular fluid, cannot receive at the accelerated rate it needs to receive. So in the balance of trade, until you clean out a lot of that water, until the intracellular space, the space in the cell, gets its cue to begin to build itself at an accelerated pace, until you get to that space, you're not really going to repair. You're going to improve. You're going to have flickers, right? My show on flickers. All those important little flickers that tell you that you just might make it. that extra walk around the block, that one day you didn't have pain. All these little things. You're looking for the big bullseye. You're looking for the point at which the intercellular water is clean and the inside of the cell gets a message from high up in the high center of the hypothalamus. Time to repair. Push it through now. Step on the gas. And the cell, because it's under less stress, will spend more of its money repairing the membrane, repairing the cytoplasm. It'll start to pump out at a more rapid pace all the garbage inside itself. It'll dissolve its viruses in the cell. It'll spew out its chemicals or eat the chemicals through the lysosome inside the cell as the intracellular glutathione rises. The cell will start at an accelerated pace undergoing its transformation. By then you're in your third year. You may be in your fourth year. You may be in your fifth year. And that's why we're doing this show. Because you got to understand the stages and something about the chemistry behind these stages and the spaces where all these things are occurring. So you've taken it long enough now. You've been successful at bringing it to the point where now the cell is more efficient. Its waters in between the cells are clean. And the inside of the cell can begin to mobilize its lysosomes and push out exocytosis, push out its garbage. Makes sense. Would a living, dynamic organism called the cell dump its poisons into filth or wait? Or with discretion, wait until those waters are clean before it really cleans itself. Prior to that, wouldn't it just do the minimum it needs to do to produce whatever it needs to produce, even if it's deficient in its production? These are pathological states. These are the spaces in which healing occurs. It's so important for you to understand these spaces and the hierarchy of the cell. From the stains that you just take off with your broom, to the stains you just take off with the vacuum, to the stains that don't come off unless you get the professional carpet cleaner, and then to the stains in which you've got to put special agents, special solvents on that cell. And that's a rug. A cell is not an inanimate object. A cell is a living, dynamic object. And it's got some tricks up its sleeve. So a cell, not only does a cell release its stains, but the cell regenerates its tissue. But that relationship between releasing its stain and regenerating its tissue to enhance function, there's a hierarchy there. There's a reciprocity, Cleans a little bit, repairs a little bit. Cleans a little bit, repairs a little bit. Cleans a lot, doesn't have any energy to repair. Your cell will detox itself and rebuild itself to its own accord, not yours. Not to your nutritionists, not to the book you read, not to your delusion or fantasy about how it's supposed to be. The body will tell you what it's going to do when it wants to do it. The body will make you humble. The body will bring you to your knees. And yet, we have people, and it's only human nature, so of course, this is never a criticism. But we have people who fight their illness. It's natural to do that. You're busy. You got things to do. How could this happen now? I sympathize. It's so painful when something gets in your way and you have to shut down your system. You have to remove yourself from your job, your profession, your vision, your dream, your family, your friends, and just dissociate and heal. But you see, you never heal unless you get humble to the fact that your body is going to take over now. You're not telling it what to do. It's telling you what to do. Hopefully your doctor understands that. Hopefully your nutritionist understands that. Hopefully your health counselor understands that. But at a certain point, We're just taking cues from the body. And that's a fascinating place to be. And that's where you find out why you got sick. That's where you find out why you suffered. That's where you find out what you have to let go of to heal. So in the end, it's a beautiful story. While you're going through it, it's like every other great story. It's filled with tragic moments. It's filled with pain. But it's a good pain in retrospect because there's a payoff. It's a choice between that pain and the other pain. The other pain is just to live with polluted intercellular water and run around holding on to the same negative mindsets in the same negative sickly spaces and just spin and spin and spin and spin. And then one day, ask yourself why you didn't make that move. You don't want to be that person. You really don't. Looking at this, well, frankly, I have to say it's more because people don't understand than that they don't have the faith. Sometimes in that moment where you're about to give up, give out, give in, you just needed the knowledge. This is what we've got to do. We've got to provide foundations, and we've got to apply knowledge. Holistic medicine is very young, in a sense. It's very young in America. And as Americans, we've done a wonderful job at moving the ball. But I can tell you, when you look at the complexities, when you look at the nuances, when you look at people that do heal, now, I've been doing this for 20 years. It was nothing for me back in the old days to take someone with back pain and work with them at 6 hours a day. I was absolutely relentless. 6, 8 hours a day, one person. If you had back pain back then, you were going to cure. I didn't care. There was nothing that was going to stop me and you and us. And what I found more than I've seen along the way, people heal. Real healings. And in the end, you didn't think you did it. In the end, the person didn't think they did it. In the end, with every veritable healing, they look up and they thank God and they say, this was a blessing. But that blessing doesn't mature without education. So you listen to this show again. You're going to need to. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. We'll see you next week. Ciao.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.